Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Desires to give you refreshment. What a wonderful message we have before us in Acts chapter 3, that the Lord is calling people to believe and repent so that they may enjoy a time of refreshment in the presence of the Lord. That's now in this life. Look at how stressed people are. Look at how much upheaval there is. Look at how much chaos, division, hatred. Why? Because very few people are listening to the message. Come, believe, and enjoy the refreshment that the gospel brings you. This is so wonderful, and so few will listen. This is such an important message today on Abounding Grace. We hope it encourages you to see the glorious plan of salvation that the Lord has made known to the nations. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks, dear listener, today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. This is part 2 of A Time of Refreshment from Acts chapter 3. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
Well, there was a purpose then Jesus was doing miracles, right? There was a purpose that Jesus did them. He did them to fulfill in one way what the prophets had spoken about what Jesus would come to do when the Lord would took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He cared very much about the poor and the oppressed. And his purpose in doing miracles was upon them to illustrate something that people don't take very seriously: the heart of all problems. Peter's aim of the sermon, he is about to preach and say here, as he preaches, this poor beggar here is going to be delivered and respond. But there is an important thing that's being shown to us through the deliverance of this man, that just as he received Jesus, so we should hear him and receive him, because we're no different. We're no different. His goal was to fit them into and bring them into the poor lame man's story. The problem was, none of them identified with the story. What do I mean? I'm not the guy down begging on the corner. This is just the beggar by the door. This is the guy down at Washington Park. This is the handicapped lady. This is the man bound up in the bed over at the home. This is the woman who has problems with her mind, right? It's not me. This is not me. This is what we do. Why then is this so important? What is Peter doing? Why is the miracle being used? The miracle was a way to draw them into the story. What do I mean by that? Think about it with me for a minute. What was this all about? What is recorded here is that the miracle had the intended effect that Peter wanted it to have. What was the intended effect of the miracle? Well, if I stood up here today and healed someone, what would you all do? Oh, don't answer. Don't answer. Don't answer. I heard someone try. All the people saw him. And what did they do? They saw him leaping. They saw him praising God. And they knew it was him who sat at the gate begging for alms. They were filled with what? Wonder and amazement. It goes on that they looked at him holding on to Peter and John, that while they're thinking, this man has really had something happen here, and they all ran. Notice this. Now they're sprinting to the porch, greatly amazed. oh, this is somewhat worked right now, hasn't it? Why are they amazed? Well, because a miracle is a power demonstrated outside the normal course of the natural events that we know that would make people interested enough to run. Because a power has been shown that now has caught our attention. A power has been shown that now has really caught our attention. And now you're going to come up to worship to see something. For one reason. Why? Why do people get interested in all this stuff? Why are people interested in miracles? Tell me. You can answer that. We'll get somewhere. I'll tell you why. Because all of us want to believe that the good fortune and power that was given to somebody else could be ours. That's why. We're all narcissists. We're all inherently about us. I read about a poor lady who won the lottery, and she just keeps winning it. This is a true story. She just keeps winning the lottery. She's won like 5 times now. She has become an instant celebrity. Lo and behold, an instant celebrity. Everyone's gathering around her. Why? Well, do people care about her? They don't give a rip about her. They're gathering around her for one reason. What's the secret? What's the secret? I want to know the secret. How are you able to continue to keep winning? I mean, that could be me. That's the thought. That's human nature. That is human nature. Here's the arena of mystery. Here's the arena of good fortune. Here's the extraordinary. Here's the power of something outside the course of things. You can gain people that way. The good fortune that has happened to this man is of undeniable proof and power, and he's jumping now. Come on. Why does everyone gather around the good fortune of one? Because maybe I can find my way into that story. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Why do you want to be in that story? Because you all and people have not achieved the happiness they want. Right? Of course. Why would you be looking for all that? Maybe I can get the same ticket. Maybe I can get the same pathway of luck. We want to be in the story. We want to identify with that story. That's why when people lose everything, they flee like roaches. We want to understand how there is something more to this life. We want to know what is the key to happiness. Now, at this point, Peter is showing us how and why miracles were used. He has a great purpose in the miracles, as the Lord had the purpose, the Spirit does. And here he sees that they are all in amazement as if, lo and behold, this power was in them or by their piety. I love that it says that there, that by their piety, it's always been a problem in the church that we're going to get this through the servant. You see, it's all there. It's all there. It's right there of what we're after and why people attach themselves to certain things. So what does he do? What do you think Peter should do at this point? I would think he would say, look, this can be yours too. Right? That's what everyone wanted him to say. And when Peter saw him, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk? Our own little group of holiness, our own little deposits of holiness, we did this. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. You, notice the strong language here that is given. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life. Whoa. Whom God raised from the dead. To this, we're all witnesses. We saw what you did. What just happened? Well, what do you think this healing says to you? What do you think is being shown to you? It's saying something far different than you think. You're interested in his story, aren't you? You want to be in his story. Are you interested in the story of now the lame? Think about that. Are you interested now in the story of a lame man whom you passed by every day and disregarded and scorned and shunned and treated with contempt? Are you interested in his story now? Now that he's raised? See? Okay, let's talk about that story. Let's talk about that story. Let me tell you the story. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob raised Jesus because you killed him. Whoa. That's the story. That's what you're looking at. You think this is about us? This is about God's power in raising his son because you killed him. I don't know that we could take the apostles' preaching today. It might empty the church. I'm floored. You know why he had to raise his son? Because you murdered him. You killed the author of life. And you asked for a murderer to be released. You denied the holy and the righteous one. You know what he just did? He turned the whole narrative on them. Story. In other words, they missed what they just saw. A man got up. A man got up. Whose legs were dead. Wow. Wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. That was amazing. A man got up. We've never seen anything like that. Really? You killed somebody and God raised him. People come to worship all the time to try to find a power that'll excite them. That'll energize them. A power that will do what these people want, right? That's why worship becomes a show. And people can get into that because then they can hold on narcissistically and take from it what they want. Peter just said, this man's story, whom you're amazed over, is telling another story. Another man had to get up out of the grave. God raised his son because you killed him. You see what he just did? He took the story of this man, the healing of this man, the story of deliverance and healing and happiness that everyone's searching for, and rooted it in another story. Do you get the point? We're always trying to find an escape. Find a way to escape the real story of our lives that God is calling us to listen to. And pass by that story and bypass that story to find another story to find happiness. But we can't find it. We can't find it. Let me give you a perfect example. This last week was the greatest mass shooting, they say, in modern American history. We didn't even get out of Hardly Church Sunday, and as people were rocking out at a concert, they're shot up. After something like this happens, it was just a marvel to me to watch the media try to find a narrative for this, the event. Right? In other words, I mean, I found myself coming home. We read this story. Why would somebody do that? There's the question. Well, we all want to fit the event into a story. We all want to fit the event into a narrative, meaning I want to find some way of explaining it that's going to make me feel better, right? That's why the media is so obsessed with figuring this out. They've got to figure this out. if we can pitch it on Antifa, if we can pitch it on ISIS, or at the end of the day, if we can't, Trump haters, whatever, if we can pitch it somewhere, it removes it from us. Right? And the last result, we'll just call them crazy. That's the last result. So what we do then, when this happens, is we immediately shine the spotlight on all the goodness of the human spirit at that moment, how everyone came together, and everyone did what was good. But the truth we've not heard yet from society. What's the truth? There's no other explanation for this other than the depraved nature of the human heart. You see, if the playing field is even that way, guess what that says to me? I could have been up on Mandalay Bay, 32nd floor shooting. No. Could you? What do you think of yourself? Could sin so blind you that you could do that? Do you think so? You see, this is what we want to do. And society then will try to regulate the problem, talking, the gun control debate comes out after this, and nobody's talking about it. It's an issue of violence and hatred in the heart, is it? How do you regulate that? That's the story everyone refuses to identify with, isn't it? They want any way out of it that they can. Now, I see it right here. I see it right here. What did the healing of this man say? Something's really wrong. Something's really wrong. He had to get up because sin has done something terrible. And that belongs to a much larger story that you're all involved with. That event in which you killed Jesus, that's what this is all about. God had to show his power in raising him up. You need to get up too. What? You need to get up too. In other words, the same deadness exemplified in this man's legs is the same deadness in your hearts. You can't pin the shooter on ISIS. You can't pin the death of Jesus on the Jews. Can't do that. You were all there. You see, this is the aim in all preaching, brothers and sisters. This is the aim in all preaching. It is to be honest with God's assessment of us. And if we refuse to listen to what's being said in the preaching, that in Jesus' death, it was my sins that caused it, then we refuse to see what's being offered to us as the solution and the true way of happiness that we all want. Do you know what made this man well? Faith. Faith in Jesus. Through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, it's the faith that comes through him gave him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I know you did this in ignorance. I know you did this, but God foretold all of it would happen through the prophets. And I love what's said now. It's so he turns it to such a gospel message of hope and true happiness being offered. It's as if Peter said, this is the worst assessment of you I could ever give, but I've got the best news now ever to give you. Best news. See what happened to this man? Guess how he got well? Through faith in Jesus. It connects you to him. You saw him sitting there and begging. He wasn't singled out for any other special reason, only one. He couldn't get up by himself. So, in his heart, God's showing you what had to happen. And it's through the gift of faith, believing, as he trusted in Jesus, as he heard the message and believed that Jesus was raised. He was raised. He was raised. And you need that. You see, you should look at him today, and you should look at every blind beggar and every needy person that's ever sat in front of you and say, I'm no better. I'm no better than that man on the 32nd floor. His physical condition here is all indicative of the spiritual problem, and that through faith, I can have the same power too to get up and find happiness. And this is where Peter takes this. Doesn't he give the beautiful call right now? Repent. We look at that as punitive. That is a wonderful statement being made to you. Repent. In other words, turn back that your sins may be blotted out. He'll blot them all out. Agree in your minds that your sins have caused this, that you're the shooter. Turn back from the course that you've chosen in life and become like him, a beggar. And call out to the Lord for healing. And guess what he'll do? He's got something wonderful to give you. In the name of Jesus, he'll blot out all your sins. That is so wonderful. Peter's not presenting the gospel as if God is saying, well, I know you've done so many bad things. You're a tough one. You've done so many bad things in the course of your life. You're the tough one. I don't know about you. He is looking at every one of you today as he did that day. And he's saying, believe. And God will wipe them all out. Why would anyone not come? What a great incentive he now gives, doesn't he? The miracle here is regeneration. Well, when you see that in someone's life, and you see life being given, and somebody raised who is dead in trespasses and sins, you should want to identify with that story. So the beautiful incentive and encouragement is given here this morning. He makes a splendid promise in the midst of all this. And I love this. This is where we're going to close with. Look at verse 19 again. Repent and turn again that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. Whoa, What a verse, huh? That's not talking just about the future when the Lord Jesus Christ will return on the clouds of heaven. This is a wonderful promise. What did he just say? Repent and believe, and the very refreshment that you're looking for, he will give from the presence of the Lord as he sends Jesus to you. Are you weary? Tonight I'm going to talk about Babylon. You know how it describes Babylon in Revelation 18? As a prison. You ever feel like you're in a prison in all this? You ever feel constricted and trapped? You weary? I will give you refreshment in the midst of all this. I'll give you what you're looking for. I'll refresh your hearts. And this is what people want. It's what they're in desperate search of. They're not going to find it apart from Jesus. This is what the entire church was receiving at that moment. Refreshment, a season of refreshment. Listen carefully to what he's saying to you. This is not Chris Gordon's ministry. This is the same ministry that Jesus gave when he was here. It's the same ministry that came through the apostles in the same power is now being given to you. That's the message. Isn't that beautiful? It comes with the same authority and the same power to raise you. That's why there's a reminder to these people. This is the fulfillment to the promises of Abraham in the covenant of grace. Jesus is the prophet promised to Moses. Hear him. If you won't hear him, you're going to be destroyed. Hear him. He was sent into the verse 26 to bless you. He was sent to bless you, that he would turn all of you away from your iniquities. The Lord has been so good to us. I hope you see that today. That's the goal here. Hear Him, receive Him, believe Him, turn to Him, and enjoy the season of refreshment that He's promised you before you are ultimately refreshed in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell forever, and you'll have new legs to jump around forever.
For listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.